there's no other shot.
Yeah.
No, because he's going to bring people.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Yellow sheet for adoption water and revised request.
for the grant portion that they are going to put in out in cash for the rest of the budget. Also, Marysville, town, senior package, what their goal review to change out for the Marysville town application, and there's also some colored road copies there in the board package, which are in line and real difficult to find. The first application for discussion is Johnson Water. And it's Johnson Water and Roosevelt. They are offering $244K cash and asking for a $244,000 grant. This is on page 3-1. The current office building is on 163 acres. They have found it necessary to relocate the building because they couldn't add to that building. Project also deals with 900 customers according to their application, and one is large industrial customer. Project number two is Town of Central Valley, 3-2-1. They are asking for a $2 million $35,000 grant to do some street improvements, some drainage improvements throughout the town. This covers about 2.26 miles of road on 3-2-12. There is a road addendum which indicates their use of the PSD road funds, but it also indicates a smaller number of roads in the road funds coming in for year 2014. This is Corona Override, Finland, GeoGrid. The GeoGrid is, you probably don't know, but I had to look it up. It's a mesh that they use. Gravel and asphalt. And the procedures that they're indicating should last for decades. They indicate a 2015 street plan. My question is, who has it been completed for the town of Central Project number three is Delta City, 3-3-1. They are indicating $420,000 in fines. And at the bottom of 3-3-13, it says that it is for a lot, $180K, and for demolition and utilities that have been fined. This is a $2,587,000 request for the fire station. 30% of the request is in the form of a $777,020.0% loan, and 70% of it is for $1,810,000 grant. This is to provide service for approximately a population of 8,000 in a 3-mile radius. It's an all volunteer fire department. The old station was built in 1962, 50 years old, but can't be expanded. CIPO has been contracted, so that's not an issue. They are going to not demolish that building, but they'll use it for storage and use it for smoking. One comment in the public hearing is question the location. So my question would be, do they have a firm location for the TV? Project number four, Mountain Green, for parking business, which includes restroom and concession ring. They are contributing $5,000 cash. $17,000 is in fundraisers, indicated in 3-4-12 in board package. There is a $50,000 request to Apple Foundation, but it stated that they are requesting that. So, what is the status of our funds for this project? They do state that the restrooms are 80 years old, and they're asking for $129,525 grant. Project number five is the town of Sterling. It's a big improvement. The town of Sterling is contributing $5,000 cash to this project, and they're asking for a $300,000 grant. On 3-5-11, as you noted, the B&G all roads and the road up to the cemetery and fire station, and do the cemetery and fire station parking lot. I understand the word, please. And the town's president states that without the grant, it won't be completed, and that's stated on 3-5-13.
Project number 6.
The grant by city is for recreation facilities, sports complex, which is mostly football grounds. They are contributing, 78,000 in local cash, but some of 78,000 is from Manti City. So they didn't indicate it on the applicant cash portion, but they did indicate it in another applicant cash. 160,000 is in kind, which for power line work. And 150,000 in kind is for road work done by Santee County on 800 North. They have a $500,000 request to establish the Eccles Foundation that is pending. So then we would ask whether you establish that in cash. Their total CID request is $3,072,000, of which is a 50-50 request, a $1,536,020-year 0% loan, and a $1,536,000 grant. They have, again, multiple funding sources. Before the funds would go out, we would qualify those funding sources, but it might be a question the board could ask for that reason. In a minute, it does say that they have an agreed upon location and price, yet in the public hearing minutes it also says that the location will be announced. I'm interested in firming up that location so that we don't have to make the contract for it, that we know that it is. Application number 7 is kind of like unclear. It is for Santee County, though, and in that case, from Santee County. It's for fairground area improvements for the grandstand, the restrooms, and concession area. The grandstand is 90 years old. Probably there are some issues in there with a 90-year-old grandstand. They're asking for $895,000 in grants. This is to redo the grandstand, the announcer's booth, the concession stand, and the restroom. Question again is staff for other funding. They have a pending private foundation funding source and a public foundation funding source. I don't know what those are. 3-7-17 is the original letter to Eccles. It was inadvertently included with Manti City's letter, which should be included with Manti City's application. 3-7-18 under Manti County and Manti should be with the Manti application. It does discuss the other funding sources for the Manti letter. Application number 8 is from the town of Marysvale and it's for road and drainage 2015. They indicate it with phase 1. This also has the color pictures in your red folder so that you can see where those road and drainage issues are. This is to address road improvements and safety concerns. Included in this application is some issues that will mitigate safety hazards. They're going to add a security barrier. Where they're adding that, the roadway drops off about 80 feet, so maybe that is a significant decision on the part of the people to handle. They're asking for all grants, $1,185,000, which would be application number 9 on the agenda today is from King County Water Conservancy District, which is from New Office and Warehouse Building, as you can ask. The applicant is contributing $7,500 in cash, also indicated are $228,000 in kind. I believe that's the land. They're asking for a total request of $875,000. Of that, 40% of it is in the form of a loan, $350,000 this year at 100%, and 60% of it is $525,000 in grant. This is available at 3,182 square foot office building. It's ADA compliant, and it also includes a 3,200 square foot steel warehouse to house storage and equipment. Included in the construction cost on page 9, 3-9-6, is a line item for office equipment and internet for $50,000. Should be noted that the board wants to choose to fund that. It's not the usual direction we see anybody do. And this indicates a reserve fund, also $300,000, and that was indicated on page 3-9-15. Application number 10 is for King County Recreation and Transportation to solidify road agents and strip up. This is an application that the CIS board has seen before, but not from King County. It's now their turn to get their easement right away solidified through the process. This is still being PND road agents, 139,000. We previously seen these applications from Linda Brand, Carbon, Machine, Emory, and Sevier. And this is purchased from the region of 119 euros and 0.216 euros on the property. Project number 11 on the agenda today is a bit complicated. It's from the Association of Governments. They are listed there. The total request is a $1,600,000 grant from the CIP board, representing a Bear River request of $150,000 on 5 counties, state west of $250,000, 6 counties, $300,000, southeastern $200,000, resident, all eastern represented about $50,000 per county. Human Basin is requesting $300,000. Mountainland AOC is $150,000, and Moffitt Front is also requesting $250,000. They do have an application in the room before. When this project comes before the board, I'm certain there will be discussion as to what this will entail or look like. The board did discuss this and tried to find a way to fund this through housing community development. That was put on the back burner. In fact, probably still pending, but waiting to see how this might be best handled. The $50,000 county award grant to a county is that still, and that seems to be the big issue. In the board package, you chose the AOG, you have a separate section. So it looks like you had a whole lot of stuff, but it really is kind of under this. Number 11. The board may discuss this issue collectively and consider some ARG or Lake County or the larger issue, again, as Phil Mook said, or discussion should be had concerning how this might go forward with the least amount of effect to other funding that comes in the county. We'll get a chance to discuss that and then I'll. We have a supplemental request for Kenyon Forest Service. This is purchased water shares. This is their second supplemental. The board authorized funding in November 2014 to do a bulk water distribution center. When they did all the engineering on that and found the property, it kind of exceeded the cost. They came back in for a supplemental funding. Not a whole lot. It's about 89,000 grand, 89,000 loans approximately, which bumped the cost up a little bit, but then there's an issue with having a water distribution center without water. So this is the purchase water shares. They're requesting $200,000 to add to the grant. This one has not closed. 20-year, 1.5, which is the term of the original funding that the board authorized, and $200,000 in grant. The new total for the whole project is now $1,052,072, which is $527,072 grant and $525,000 for 1.5% loan.
this is for an area that has some distribution, so you get the water. There is no water distribution out there. It's a very big area, and it's very expensive to do it in a different way. So they're trying to mitigate right now, doing it with all power stations, which all of those residents can come get water. On your CC, did anything that we would have a special consideration? If you're not, on the next meeting. And then the board member issues, once again, a strict meeting. It's in place with the rural summit. I don't know if anybody on the board has started to attend that or that interview, but that's when that meeting is there for them, when we get the board member issues anyway.
We very much appreciate our candidates and your staff for the work that they do. As a reminder, please make sure that you sign in. We're trying to keep this towards your back door, so if you didn't take advantage of your invitation, so please. Let's start off by introducing the board members and staff, and Mr. Galecki, we'll start with you.
Sure. Greg Galecki, and I represent the Water Quality Board.
Jim Matt, I'm the main counselor of the 75 County Association of Governments.
I'm Ethan Adair with the Senior Youth Commission.
Chris Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Chris Reed, Staff to the Board. Candace Power, Staff to the Board.
Chief Eaton with the Health and Community Development Committee.
I'm Garrett, County Commissioner, representing the County AOG.
Good morning, my name is Martin Keith, representing the County.
Jay Potter, Carpenter, Commissioner, representing Carpenter.
Steve Farrell, Wasatch County Councilman, representing the Board of Water Resources.
I'm Robert Lee, Attorney General's Office, back to the Board of Water Resources.
Council Lady, who is the Director of Housing and Nature.
Thank
you very much. And Tim is now in our budget officer, taking this seat now. Welcome. Now, we have a couple of special guests who would like to recognize. Senator Bob Olson is here with us again. We very much appreciate that, Senator. We always appreciate the big Senator and all his support. He served many years on this board, and we appreciate his ongoing support. And Representative Michael Wells is here. He's also always representing himself, but he's also representing the county and the county commissioner. So, very good to have those of you here today. As Candace noted, we are currently running some deficits. Of course, we don't come to these projects until October as stated, so funds will continue to pour in, and these numbers are assuming that these schools won't do anything as presented. So the challenge that the board has is to bring those into balance over the next three meetings. It is worth noting that there's a $21 million deficit in the free money that we grant, but in the bonus money that we loan, it's going to be $800. So, as applicants, keep in mind that you can take more loan, and that will certainly help the board out, and we want to help you out as well. Wanted to note that. At this time, we'll invite John to Martin Luther District to come forward. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go here to come here.
I don't even know.
I have a radio call. Since you're not denied, I don't know.
Motion.
Do we need to make a motion?
Yes, to make a motion.
We have a motion by Claudia to approve in a second. Right now, I'll listen to the second. We have a motion in a second. All in approval, guys?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much.
I have one actually, one comment.
Okay.
Again, page 2-1-2, and they're talking about Mayor Piccolo's presentation as awarded the coal miner's lamp, and it's connected to the rail.
a little more high tech now?
Thank you all. Now we're going to invite John Warner to come forward. And as you take your seats, please remember to introduce yourself for the record.
Good morning, Dallas Murray. I'm the chairperson of Johnson Water. Dixon Taylor is our manager. It's good to be with you again, and recognizing a number of new patients on the board and the type of an application we're submitting, or request we're submitting, I think a very brief history of Johnson Water is in order. Back in the mid-1960s, Smith Johnson started visiting with neighbors to try to get a rural water system in our area. Unfortunately, before it became being, Smith was killed in an industrial accident, so didn't see the water flow. They started out and they organized an association with just a few farmers and ranchers and neighbors that started it, and they acquired permits for a well, and the water was supplied by that. And from the association, they wanted to enlarge, so they went to and they named it Johnson Water in honor of Smith Johnson. It became the Johnson Water Improvement District, which covers quite a large area. Most of the early meetings were held in homes of one of the board members. And finding a need for a place where they could meet, they gave one of the members a water hookup for 0.3 acres to put a building on. It was finally increased to 0.63 acres, small building was somewhere around 600 square feet was constructed on a slab. We looked at acquiring more property there and enlarging the building, but it just isn't suitable. We, a number of years ago, Johnson Water purchased some farmland nearby, and it has now been rezoned to commercial, and we're planning to build an office and a storage building there. And so this is the background of what our request is. And we are submitting an application where we will put up half cash, and then we're requesting the balance as a grant. So this is basically what our project is about, and it's explained in your packet.
Thank you, we'll turn the time over to the board. Is there any questions for the audience?
It was amended, that's what Candace mentioned.
So the revised request is $244,000 grant with no loan requirement.
That is correct. And $240,000 that we will provide. And we also have the properties, so there will be no expense in the property.
I'd like to just make a comment, and that's for practically, when we say someone's
oh, why we're coming up to the 244,000?
No.
Oh, contingencies.
Oh, oh. One reason of the contingency is that our experience has been when we get into buildings or into pipelines and things like this, into any construction, there's always those surprises that come up. And we have never had to come back to CIB to ask for a supplemental. And we felt that when we're going to a building project, which we don't have the expertise, we have gone to a number of contractors and visited with them without full trust. Now, if it were a water line, we could estimate it much closer, and so that's the reason that the contingency is there. Is there other comments, Dixon?
No, and I think it was recommended by the engineer to put a higher contingency as well.
Yeah, I would add that, again, your engineering costs are extremely low. And other.
Yes.
Other questions for the I was wondering, you're building a four-bay maintenance shop. Do you have at least four vehicles to put in the four bays?
We have a backhoe, we have a trailer to haul it on, a haul truck for it, and we recently obtained a hydrovac. And I don't know if you're familiar with what a hydrovac is, but with all of the infrastructure in the ground, a lot of times we have to pothole to find what's there before we dig. Anyway, that requires either you put antifreeze in every night when the weather's cold, or you keep it in a heated building. So, and we anticipate probably more equipment in the future. Now, we've kind of left it open. If our cost estimate is from the contractors higher, we'll cut that building down to three or two bays to meet the demand. Right now, we could probably get away with two bays, but we're just planning a little bit for the future.
Our growth has been rapid the last few years.
Also, in your scope of work, you mentioned a retail area. Is that a customer service area within the building, that type of thing, or
yes.
Are you dealing with a retail business?
No.
Good bottled water.
Yeah, we're not going to sell bottled water, no.
nor do we resell plumbing equipment and things like that. We're just a retail rural water.
I think the reason we put it like that is currently we walk in one door and we could have a meeting with the board or engineers or something, and they have to walk right through that meeting to go over to pay their bill. And so we just want a separate entrance to kind of keep so we can have conduct a meeting or do some business without being interrupted by somebody just walking in to pay their bill. That was the whole reason we put that.
If there aren't any more questions, we're going to have a motion. If they want to show them, please go ahead. Commissioner Jarrett has made a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Aye. Commissioner Jarrett is the second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
And as a reminder, this is moving to the priority list. Central Valley.
Good morning. I'm Kim Peterson, Mayor of Central Valley. I've got Dave Nelson with me, Council over the road in Central, and Brian Barton with Jones and Mill, our engineer. Our project has been an ongoing project. We just incorporated 10 years ago, and just after incorporation, they come to the board and got a $1 million loan grant. We're just at the point of about 2 years away from finishing repayment on that, which would be about another $20,000 that that loan will be taken care of. And then, so we're starting this process to do the next section to upgrade our roads. And basically, Dave and I, when we did the incorporation, didn't understand roads too well, and so we were kind of behind the curve when it comes to that. Our location in Sevier Valley is such that a lot of traffic goes through our town to other locations, like in Annabelle. It's the main corridor into Annabelle. It's the main corridor into the east side of Monroe through Austin, Washburnville. So we get a lot of outside traffic also on our main roads. And we do have quite a few truckers that live in our area and utilize our roads. And in our community, we have quite a few of our residents who work at the mine or in the transportation of transporting coal. Plus, we do have a couple truckers that haul petroleum for the refineries. And our project is basically taking about half of our remaining major roads and trying to get them improved, leaving the others for other funding sources. And I'll let Dave answer those questions and comment on that.
That is, if you've got a question.
What we're looking for, Kim touched on it, but this is basically a phased program, and I see it as having started approximately 10 years ago when we did incorporate. Central Valley Town's been in existence since the 1800s, but we didn't incorporate until 2005. And that town council, that board did come in and get some money at that time to deal with some very serious safety issues, extending some culverts and stuff like that. So now this is the next phase, and what you need to understand is this road that we're working on now was originally Old Highway 89, so you're dealing with an infrastructure that's that old. And it was deteriorating then, and it's obviously deteriorating more so now. And that's why, as we looked at what we needed to do, as we had Jones and DeMille do the evaluation, which you guys helped us pay for very recently, we came up with some priorities. But this phase of it is the first priority, and I count this as the second phase. The third phase will be to do these other roads, and while we're dealing with this problem, we're going to go to rural roads to see if we can get some funding for those other projects. But I can assure you, at some point in time, we're going to be back to try to complete the rest of this project. But our issues are like the issues of every small community that's setting out here. We're very limited with our funding and what we can deal with here in terms of our maintenance, what we can deal with in terms of loan and put money up front. And that's why you have before you a request pretty much for 2.8 some million in grant, and we're putting up around $40,000 in cash, we can squeeze that out of the budget. So do you have any questions beyond that?
As far as road revenue, it doesn't show any
B&T revenue. It's around $38,000 a year is our B&T. Of course, that's going to go up a little bit with the new tax. We are spending probably $20,000 a year, basically right now in maintenance is what we're trying to do right in that particular area.
My question is, does it change the head and hand part of the
treadmill? We can handle some, yeah, but it cannot exceed $270,000.
How do you come up with that number?
That'll allow us to service the debt and still maintain my roads.
That would leave us possibly somewhere. If we can get up to $45,000 in B&T road funds, that would leave us about $13,000 to maintenance, which wouldn't leave us any room for any error. Any major structure would be catastrophic.
We've got two more years on the previous loan, two more payments. One due in March of 2016, one due in March of 2017. Now, if the amount of money we're putting into this is a concern, if you're willing to write off the 2016 payment, I didn't say defer it, I said write it off, we'll take that $20,000 and put with it, we'll give you $16,000. How's that? But that's the best we can do.
How much are your payments leaving time?
$20,000. And we got, like I said, two payments left, one March 16 and one in March of 2017. And we want to pay those off. We don't want that deferred. We would prefer to pay it off. We're always willing to take a write off on this.
I got
you.
How much engineering does this cost?
Yeah, I see that. So Candace mentioned some of the technology that we're recommending for this effort. We think that the cement treated base and the geogrid alone will save on the order of $200,000 to $250,000 over traditional construction. And so a lot of there's quite a bit of testing that goes into that process, defining where the thicker sections need to be, doing a little bit more higher resolution testing than was done during the planning effort. So it's mostly dealing with the pavement design process, dealing with the drainage issues.
How long does the project going to take?
About 120 days, 90 to 120 days. So there's quite a bit of asphalt. It's a main major corridor.
So is that engineering work, or is that more of the crews?
That would be the construction schedule. So it'll take us a good 3 to 4 months to get the project ready to bid and go through that whole.
Yeah, that's my question. Is that you have 140,000
in PE, and then another $120,000
in civil engineering stuff.
At $1 an hour,
it's thousands of hours of work as
it trying to see where that's coming from. Right. Yeah, and we've taken a good look at it, and we feel like that's the level of effort that will be required. The construction phase engineering is tracking quantities and adding daily observation, ensuring general compliance with the plans and specifications like we have on any project. And it will be a major effort. There's a lot of processes that will be going on between the pulverization and the new asphalt coming in and cement treatment and all of that. So it's quite a process over that 3 to 4 months during construction.
Commissioner Adams, you have a question?
just want to remind the board that we've had other communities come in with similar problems with their roads in tough shape. I know two communities very close to where I live. And most help came in recently with a $5 million request there for half of it in grant, half of it in a loan. We have a transportation special service district in San Juan that helps with the current projects as far as helping them with the loan payment. I think in fairness to other communities, there needs to be some loan. It goes along with any of these vehicles to do any of the work. I think for the board to just grant all the money in the grant, I think it's unfair to the communities who work hard to come up with a way that they can pay part of it in a loan. I don't know whether the county could help the community out or not. With any of the funds that they receive, if they have a transportation project or anything else. So just, I think we need to be fair to these communities who are willing to come up with money to pay part of it.
Mr.
Steven,
this is kind of a follow-up to that. We do want to work with you. We hope things like the one we have with. In a couple of years, we're going to have some continuing to take off. And I think with our BHP road fund, we kind of have a 10-year lifespan. We're wondering if we'll structure something in that structure. Again, in such a way that we're doing even a little bit more than 200,000. And, you know, I don't know if that number would be. Maybe they're, you know, we're going to burn them down and not have any of the little stuff. We're going to show them the money on the road. And maybe we need to structure that in such a way that that payment is going to be $2.
The PNC road fund can need to be completely paid off as a set of the urban shores within 10 years of the following the loan. To defer any payments and still use that money, you have to put in a long term. To use that money. As it is, if we gave them $270,000 10-year, if your plan is strong, the payment would be $27,000 a year. You can't defer it. I haven't done the figures to find out what the GIA is trying to defer it until 10,000 and or they can choose the initial payment source and extend the amount of the term, but if you put the PNC road fund, it has to be
understood.
Mr. Chair? My question is, I'm actually going to ask the county to be sure. I know I was on the schedule, you know, major for Metro Gulf. Is there any application to push this funding? Are we only with that? Is there a
That's a great question. The town has actually applied twice for the Joint Highway Non-Urban Local Funds, and it's just worked out that the competitive nature of that funding opportunity really limits how much UDOT can do on a statewide basis in rural areas. I wish the non-urban local funding pot was larger. They only do about $6 million a year. And so you can imagine it's quite competitive. It's difficult to get that money. Again, they've applied twice, and Councilman Nielsen, he referenced some other roadway improvements that the town anticipates, one being Center Street, the other being Sevier River Road. Both of those are major collectors and would qualify for non-urban local, and that's the funding package that we're looking at to make the other improvements so that we can leverage more funds to help the town.
I think that the board is saying that we certainly sympathize with the situation and understand that they need to have to do something with this road. And we appreciate the work that the engineering firm
appreciate that this being because students and the state of the plan, I think the plan is complete, and that's where this information is coming from. When we talk about phase three, where you go for another funding source, it'll be similar to the auxiliary load. Is there a way that you could break this down into smaller? The reality is, you're asking for another $3 million, what we really just do not have. And we're looking at loan options, but those are very difficult given the DNC revenues are so low and the short term that you have there. So we understand that condition. So I don't know what the sentiment of the board is, but again, this is a big request at a time when we don't have big money. So maybe to phase it out even more might be an option.
Well, one thing that I think you need to think about on that is that every phase that you do, you're raising the cost of the project because of the mobilization. So over the long haul, you're really not saving anything here. It's really costing more, not to mention the fact that the costs are going up. And, you know, we're looking at what we can afford, realistically afford on a loan. And like I said, our money guy says we can take about $270,000 in loan, and we can service that debt fairly easy. But we're also, well, I won't say fairly easy, but we can service that debt. But the other issue here also is after this project's done, they tell us that within a year or two, we've got to go in and be able to chip seal that, to seal that and take care of that road. And so we've got that in the back of our minds at the same time. But, you know, to me, it's fairly realistic in terms of $270,000 loan on this. It's about 10% of the project, not counting what we're putting in. So, and we're certainly not going to get in any better shape for road-wise. I mean, things are deteriorating fairly rapidly out on that road, and the traffic is increasing because we are growing. So that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, just on that technical note, the roads are in really bad condition. You've got alligator cracking through the majority of this corridor. You've got some major rutting. You know, after a rainstorm, it's getting more dangerous to drive that corridor because of the standing water in the deep ruts along the roadway. So the lifespan or the life expectancy of this roadway corridor is very minimal before we start having asphalt blowouts and some real problems. So we tried to take that into consideration during the phasing analysis.
Any other questions
from the board? Yes. I'll make a motion that we grant
by Mr. Gladby. Is there a second to that motion?
No possible way.
No, right.
Our town income is only $187,000 a year.
Right. You got 200 families there. There's no way. If we doubled the property tax, we couldn't pay that payment.
We do have a motion on the table. Could we do a second? So, all those in favor of that motion, please do it. So, Anne, please. One, two, three. Okay, so we go back to the motion by Commissioner McKee, which was a $250,000 loan at 2.5% interest for 10 years, the balance being used for grant. We have a second on that motion. We have a whole bunch of that to
go
here.
For sure.
So, is there any action on that? Any discussion on, further discussion on that motion? All in favor, by show of hands? And any opposed to that motion? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Which a lot of us use interactively in here today. The fire of understanding that will invite all the city to come forward.
We're coming in course.
We appreciate that on. You hear me? Okay, we appreciate the opportunity of being here today. I'd like to introduce the people we got here. We got our Delta City Fire Chief, Lynn Ashby. We got Bruce Curtis, the Chairman of the Fire District. Dean Draper, our County Commissioner. And Robert Worley with Sunrise Engineering. I'll let Chief Ashby speak for a few. Oh, I'm here. Gail Bunker, Mayor of Delta.
Morning, everyone. My name is Lynn Ashby. I'm the Fire Chief of Delta. And you know, I could go out on a car wreck, or I could go out on a fire that we had 100 people on, and I would be comfortable. You people scare the crap out of me. Just saying. So if I say something wrong, I apologize in advance, okay? This is just different than I've ever had to do before. I've always been the boss, but to take you 10 orders is pretty spooky for me. But a little bit about the fire department. The fire department started in 1941 in Delta. We had an old dance hall, and behind it was a fire truck, and Billy Van was the guy that ran the fire truck. 1946, they got together and decided they needed to do a little better than that. So they went ahead and put a fire department together, bought a 1946 Mack fire truck, and that was the starting of the Delta Fire Department. They joined the State Association in 1946. Great fire department, great people. You understand volunteers. You understand what it is to keep a volunteer in this day and age. So I won't go too much into that stuff. Delta Fire Department has between 90 and 126 calls a year. Fairly busy for a 30-man fire department. We have 30 people. Of those 30 people, we have approximately 113 certifications. That's national certifications. We've really been aggressively training our firefighters the last 10, 15 years. So the whole county has 100 or 218. Delta itself has 113 of those certifications. Next Saturday we'll probably get three more. So we're aggressively going toward training, and we've got a great group of firemen. And you know, with volunteers, it's always tough to keep them great, keep them coming. It's a tough deal. But about 10 years ago, we decided our fire station just wasn't working. The original fire station was built in the late 60s. We added on to that fire station twice. It was a metal building. Of course, when you add on to a building, metal building on both sides of it, we have all kinds of leak problems inside there. Corrugations and metal were so great that the condensation build up, drop the insulation, and you go out on a fire with insulation and some ceiling panels right on your truck, it doesn't look very professional. You have to, you know, so it's kind of rough that way. But the station through the year, it's been a great station, but it's just degraded to the point where we have to do something. We're right to the safety problem. The walls are rusting to the point where we're just about getting into a problem with structure. We're not ADA compliant. We're not NFPA compliant. We've grown the space. 10 years ago, we hired a firm to come in and help us design a new fire station. Took $6,000 out of my budget, and that really hurt. We didn't get anything out of it. It didn't work. We went to the city. The city didn't have the money, so we pretty well botched it. Put it back on a longer plan. 5 years ago, we went to the city and says, let's make a long-range plan, which is where you people came in. And so we last 5 years, we've been readily looking at fire stations from Park City clear to St. George on what would work. Why reinvent the wheel if there's already one there that works? Well, we met up with Richfield Fire Department. Approximately, they're about 1,000 more people than we are with our response area. But their fire station seemed to meet all of our needs that we had to have. We made a list of what we wanted and what we needed. So we took our needs and we went to Richfield and picked up their station, and it looked just about perfect for what we needed. A few changes. I talked to them several times, made several trips to Richfield, asked them if you could do any different, what would you do? And they came up with a few plans, minor changes, but their station is just about perfect. So basically that's what we're patterning our station after. And I can go on forever. We're servicing about 7,864 people according to the 2010 census. So 8,000 is probably getting closer. We're expanding a little bit in Delta. We cover a lot of large industries. Delta Fire Department responds as far as 88 miles to the state line. There's 12 fire departments in Miller County. Those 12 fire departments, 7 of them are in West Miller County. Delta responds to all of West Miller County structure fires. That's why our fire numbers are up so much. And where other fire departments may have 4 or 5 fires, we can have 80 or 90 fires. So we may go as far as 88 miles to the state line. We also respond on all 1050 calls, which is any ambulance type of an injury, car type accident, we respond on ATV accidents. We also do the hazmat for the county. We do the dive rescue for the county. Well, it's not a lot of water, but we do go over to Yuba sometimes and help those people out too. We do confined space rescue. So we're a busy fire department. We're a great fire department, and I just want to keep it great along with the firemen. So, like I said, the current building is on too small of a lot. There's no room for growth. In fact, the mayor was just talking yesterday. He watched us out washing our trucks to get ready for the 4th of July parade, and they were all out in the street. He made that note this morning on the way up. So you guys are out in the middle of the road washing your fire trucks. We don't have an apron. We just don't. It's from the old days. The old station, you know, again, a metal building. It worked for a lot of years. And I don't want to degrade it, but it's just time that we want a training area big enough for all of the county to come in and train with us. That's the future of the fire department. It's so hard to keep volunteers, to retain the volunteers. So if we could take those people and put them all in one big group and train them, we can all be brothers together and train together and work together, because we need everyone to do that.
Thank you for the good work that you and the people do.
Thank you.
Appreciate that and understand the facility. How many trucks do you currently have?
We have 11. We're building a 12th one right now. We have 11 trucks in it.
And all 11 of those trucks located in the facility?
Absolutely.
We're going to the board for a question.
Could I make a comment before you go to the board? I just want to make a comment. We've been before this board, and we don't normally come before this board for funding. We do a lot of smaller projects in-house and with other funding. About 7 years ago, we came before this board and got a $3 million loan. We didn't ask for any grants. We asked only for a loan on that funding at that time, because we had to pay it back with revenue from our water project. This was just to meet the EPA requirements for arsenic. And so we knew that we could do it, so we didn't ask for grant money. Now with this today, you have in your application there where we're requesting $777,000 in loan and 200 and, no. $258,000, so that's a total. Anyhow, with what we're putting in, with the loan and with the in-kind money that we're spending, would be $1.197 million, which is 40% of the total cost. We've, in response to what was mentioned earlier from the board on the funds being a little tighter, we've decided that we would, that's a, that figure was a 30%, 70% loan to grant ratio. We're proposing that we go to a 35% loan and a 65% grant, which would change that from our loan from $777,000 to $906,000, which would be the total cost of the project we'd be paying with the payback of the loan and the money we're putting in now. Would be 44% of the total cost of the project.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioner Keith. I want to speak in favor of the project for Camp America, but I want to touch on some of these things. When you look at our North County, if you look at the general district, which is over $10 million, and see how they work, but then, you know, about a third of that, a little over $3 million. I think the architecture and doing the base kind of the infrastructure is the bottom of it. So I think because the request is very worthwhile, I think a very worthwhile project, and I think it's kind of getting them up in line as to what we're going to do around the state. But the thing that I just wanted to kind of look about in terms of maybe it's not the same thing, but just within our previous application, I'm wondering if we could consider, not at the Hollywood to work out in comparison to what they just mentioned, that the grant fee, the amount of the grant fee, which is just the $777,000 loan, my thinking is, if we put that in the bullet, if we put that in the bullet, but again, that's also within our balance sheet. But what I would like to do is rather than have the 2.5% interest on this one, I think we'd have to get rid of the state rate. We're doing only 1.5% interest. Not like if we can put that on 1.5% interest, but probably. In other words, I'm speaking favor. I would like to look at putting that over at 1.5% interest and make it a percentage of the debt. It's the loan of $777,000 and make 1.5% interest.
Is that a motion, Commissioner?
Well, I don't want to preclude any discussion, but it would be when you're ready.
We have a motion by Commissioner Keating, second by Commissioner Hatton, to loan the original $777,000 at 1.5% interest for 20 years. I have the first question for Mayor Walker, and the second question for Chief Ashley. Mayor, you have indicated in a meeting that you have with the company in May 13th, and that means that we have your county farmers who will put some on the road. Have you seen that happen?
Say that again, I didn't quite hear you.
The Dillon County Farmers Group has agreed to pay part of the loan or participate. Do you have that committed in writing? It's already done.
I think it's done.
President Clark,
the board has given okay. It's in the minutes of being okay.
So checking the mail, is that what it is?
Checking the mail, yeah. It's been put before the board, isn't it?
Chief, also there was an attending meeting, you had a concern from the citizen that maybe it was too close to the park and you used restroom.
Yes, we have, and I guess the best way to put that is if you had an action, then you want to be as close to the action.
Okay.
So my point is, there's a skate park right there close. We're only moving the fire station one block.
Okay.
The people understand they really for a fire station. The only problem we had was where it was going to be put, but the main thought was commercial property that could be used better than the city than than that. More, that was their biggest problem, and the fact that they closed that road for the park. So we, as you can see that drawing, maybe you can't see the footage of it, but we actually left the building back far so we could exit onto Main Street so they could go ahead and still block off that road, and then they were content with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
That road is a 99-foot wide road, so it is a wide road. So that's only about two or three times a year when we close that off for a period of time. But we've addressed that so that it isn't an issue, so we have addressed it. But they were definitely in favor of the fire building, just that concern. That was just one. Well, there were two people, but they were the husband and wife.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion?
I got a couple questions.
Right.
So under it says the contingency, the $200,000 contingency, that was going to be covered from the city.
That's correct.
Okay, so you won't be coming back?
We will not be coming back. We've never come back to the CIB for additional funds. We will make the building fit with the funds that we have. And so no, we will not be coming back.
And I was kind of curious, what's the function of the heated floor?
That's, we put it in our city shop, and the advantage to that is that the heat comes from the floor up. When you're working on concrete, your feet are always cold when it's outside or when the weather's cold. And we heat our whole shop with only the radiant heat from the floor in the wintertime. And if you go out on a fire call and come back in with vehicles with ice and snow on them, that the snow will melt there with the heated radiation and then go into the drains. And so that's the reason for the radiant heat.
And then the next one's for Candace. I was kind of wondering, how does the student have this done?
What's your growth rate on the How many people move in that week or so, last month or so?
We're not growing significantly. We're pretty much level. I mean, we have a little growth here and there, but not much.
We'll grow in 2020. We will grow in 2020.
All right, that's right. In 2020, do you want to talk to that, Commissioner Draper?
The Intermountain Power Plant is proposed changing to gas-fired units, and we will have huge construction coming in around 2020. On Sevier Lake, we have the Emerald Peak Mining. They expect to bring in 200 or 300 full-time employees when they open up at the same time frame. We have other projects that are coming into the county. We're running even right now, but 5 years from now we expect an explosion.
Okay, did I understand? Can you repeat to me so I understand exactly this?
Absolutely. You were. The terms are a $1,810,000 grant and a $777,000 20-year, 1.5% loan.
Okay, that's what I thought I saw. Thank you. I appreciate the CIB. And
you're not really all that scary thing.
Appreciate it.
You might not bring the symbol.
We appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I'm Jeff Walker, serve on the Foundry City Council. This is Rob Jagar, he's a city employee who's over roads, water, sewer, and whatever else we have, and so we appreciate being here today. I guess first off, we just need to say thank you. As we were coming up, we were visiting. Roger's worked for the city for 20-some years, and just visiting with him over the last 40 years, a lot of different projects. CIB has helped on Green Belt over the years with infrastructure, with roads, water, sewer, with park improvements, school, playground equipment, those types of things. And so just want to express appreciation for the funding that has come over the past 40 years from time to time. But our request today is for park improvements for a restroom / concession. Just a little background on that, as was mentioned in the earlier minutes. There's a great need there at the Foundry City Park. The restroom that currently exists there was built 8 years ago. I'm a plumber by trade, and I see a lot of interesting things each day, and this restroom is beyond even being antique. And so it's time that we come up with a new facility. It is small. It just has two stalls in the women's, one in the men's, and one urinal, so it is very small. A little background on the city park. It sits in the middle of Fountain Green. It's 1 acre, 4 acres, one full city block. And it's the hub of what goes on in Fountain Green, all of the activities with the youth, any socials, weddings, family reunions. We do have 3 boweries there that are constantly rented out. So there is a lot of activity and a lot of use. There's a playground there and also a ball diamond. So a lot of what goes on at Fountain Green happens there at the city park. And a lot of people that come by through there, a lot of shade trees, people come stop, have lunch. And so there's a great need for an upgrade on those restrooms. As Roger has had the opportunity to tour the state of Utah, he's been going to all of the city parks in the state and found a restroom in Cedar City that we felt would meet our needs. So we got permission to use their plan so that we could keep the cost down. And we have run the numbers off of the plans that they have, and we're going to build that with the same specs that they have. Fortunately, in Foundry, we have all of the local contractors. As I said, I'm a local plumbing contractor and work with these gentlemen every day building. And we have concrete, block masons, plumbers, electricians, framers. And so we've gone to these contractors and got competitive bids from them. The nice thing with that is they're all citizens of Bowling Green and have given us bids with the materials at their cost plus a reduction on their labor. So the numbers that are shown there on the total project of $201,522 reflect that as well. But on the proposal, on the funding sheet, you'll notice that the city has put up $5,000. And as far as fundraisers, this has been going on for about 4 years. And so the land day committee's held, along with other organizations in our town, they've come up with about $17,000. And I guess what's really stemmed this whole thing over the last 4 years is we have a huge community celebration, which comes up the third week of July every year. It's called Land Days. I don't know if you've heard of it. But a great community celebration where we people come back from all over. There's upwards of about 3,000 people at the park on Saturday, so there's heavy use there to the point where we actually have to get the portable outhouses and put them on each corner of the park to help out with accommodations there as far as the restrooms. We've also talked with the Eccles Foundation, told them what our proposal is. They're more fine arts. They've kind of said, you know, what we'd like to do is we're coming to you for the balance of the $129,000. They said that they would go $50,000, maybe next Thursday, and hopefully that's something that will come through for us. And so today, our proposal to you that we're asking our grant would be the $129,525. So that would be our proposal today.
Well, thank you. You mentioned your fundraising effort, and so hopefully that will be helpful.
Yeah, small community. There are only about 1,000 people and 350 households, so it's just not a lot of money there.
Questions from the board?
There's a contingency of 10%, so 18.3. And the hope is with that, Claudia, is that the sewer line coming into the existing facility now actually plugged last year on the Saturday at Land Day. We had to close it, the restroom flooded, and so people had to go home to use the restroom. So it's kind of not a good thing. So we need to replace that sewer line with that contingency, and also the existing restroom that's in. There's been several Eagle projects done on it, so the building is a cinder block building in really good shape. It's painted and got a metal roof on it. We would like to keep that existing, go in, tear out all the plumbing that's in the floor, re-pour that concrete, put some new metal doors on it, and give that to the rec people of the city to put all their equipment in, because right now they're just taking a home and storing in the garages, so that would give them a place for storage, which would be really nice. So we'll keep the existing going. If we didn't, yes.
We have a motion for approval from Commissioner Jarrett. Is there a second? Mr. Winters, is that you? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm just curious how signs, as I saw, Ryan has the signs, air fresheners, and TV holders for 2009.
That would be all the inside stuff. Where you come in the restrooms, the lighted up men's and women's deals and where you come in the restrooms. And then the signs and the air fresheners that go in that they're putting in there now. They're all electronic. They plug in and they just work off. They're all electronic now. And then that also includes two of those hand the blow dryers so that we're not dealing with paper towels as well.
Most of the companies that offer those for free, so we're dealing with them to run the supply, so don't get charged for that.
Thank you. Appreciate that information.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And now both. We got it.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Mayor Talks of Sterling come up to ask for your help. We crack sealed our roads last year, and we saved for 2 years to get them crack sealed, and our cemetery roads kind of falling apart, and we got some other roads we've never oiled. And I feel if we can go in and chip seal them now, and roto mill the cemetery road, we'll have good roads for quite a while. The last time we chip sealed was in 2002, and we've just been maintaining them since then. So, that's, you got anything to say, Lynn?
No, I just, they just, it's a good project. Well, we'd appreciate your help with it.
No, we appreciate you coming in to see the job and not saying no. But I do kind of wonder, in another 10 years with the ship still, you'll be back in the same situation. You're drain ways, you're going to be in the city, you're going to have to funds, or are you just trying to keep your head above water?
Well, we're just, we don't have a lot of money coming in, but we maintain them every year. If we get a pothole, we'll get it fixed. But we got, it cost us $12,879 to crack seal the roads. And, 2014, we had $12,760.33. So, we don't have a lot of money coming in. We got one store in town for tax money, and we get road funds from the county. But I think if we chip seal them now, we'll have good roads for quite a while.
Questions from the board? Questions from the board? I'll make a motion. Commissioner Winter, you have a motion of approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Matson, second. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, Mr. Gillespie, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys helping.
Next up, City.
Good morning. I'm Mayor Corey Stoper from Manti. On my left, I have Kent Barton, my city administrator. On my right, I have Garrick Wilden, our engineer with Jones and Benel Engineering, here to help us today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here to seek your assistance for a sports complex facility in the city of Manti. Presently, we're deficient in our sports and recreation facilities for our youth sports programs, as well as our adult programs. We have over 50 different sports teams seeking use of facilities in our community. In a recent public hearing, we had one mother who said that on any given evening, she does not know where her children are going to be practicing. And so she has to, you know, try and keep track of them as best as she can and do what she can. Presently, we are losing one of our fields used at the Manti High School to a soccer field. The LDS Church, who we've used their softball fields as much as we can, the LDS Church has advised that the city will no longer be able to use the field at the State Center. We've made efforts to utilize our city park for soccer and baseball, but this area accommodates only very small children. We play some of our games in the unused portions of the cemetery. which hasn't had many complaints from the residents, but we have received some criticism and ridicule from media outlets and former citizens that were being disrespectful in the cemetery. And so we've done what we can do there to find places to play. On occasion, we have had to schedule two Magpie teams to play home games in neighboring communities. And we need these facilities to support the development of our youth in our community, and as well as our recreation opportunities for our adults in our community. And we would appreciate your support. I have Gary can also add any comments or answer any questions as well.
This has been something that's been sorely needed in the community. We don't really have a baseball field other than the ones we've used from the school district. We used to have a four-field complex there. Two of those fields went away to give way to a football field, and now the third one is going away for soccer. And we just don't really have any way to accommodate our youth. We're from an economically challenged community. We recently did a housing survey for our affordable housing plan, and we're at 66% at severely low, very low, or moderate income. And one of the mothers at the hearing that we had recently said our kids are really becoming frustrated because they go to a practice or a game, or they're scheduled and they have to wait up to an hour or be driven to another community, and we don't know where they are, and they're ready to give up on this, and we're concerned about them spending our time on the streets and other activities. So.
Over to the board. Any questions? Jennifer, I want to know why you don't get to stop you playing in the field. Is it going to get 10%?
Yes. In fact, we with the pageant, we feel like we pay extra, but I think it has to do with our liability issues and concerns.
How many stages, how many donations? Can you give us a little idea of what those of you are talking about? They just paid
Yeah, that's all cash that we have currently that has been earned through community fundraising events or has been given to the city through private donors. We have it in hand. That is correct.
Yes.
And one more thing, some of the citizens have mentioned that you will have 1,000% in this project to school.
I don't know how he came up with that figure, but that was a statement that was made at a hearing, and I think what he had indicated that his feeling was that a development like this would be good for the city, good for the youth, good for the adults, and also good for business. I think that gentleman relocated from Washington County.
Was that I was looking for those days to get out of town to play in some other places.
Thank you.
My question is that have you nailed down the location, is that secure, or are you still undecided? It seemed like maybe there was two locations.
We haven't acquired the property yet, but we have had significant discussions with the property owner. Part of what we'd like to do with this is locate it near the county fairgrounds and the current high school in order to have efficiencies of shared infrastructure like parking and lighting and such. And so we've talked with the property owner there, and he floated a figure, which is a figure that we have used in our financial statement. I did tell him, or we did tell him when we met with him, that ultimately we were going to be using public money for this, and it would have to withstand the scrutiny of a fair market appraisal, and asked him to agree in principle to that, to which he did. It has not.
I've got a couple questions. Did you consider phasing it at all?
Was that ever an option, or just going
to
do it all?
That isn't our desire. If we had to do that, we would certainly look at it.
So the two things that stick out to me is that, you know, we have almost $500,000 in spot. We're exceeded it. We're going to save a fraction of that. And then the other is, you know, another $500,000 in life. So if you needed to scale back over two areas, you have $1 million right there.
And those are the first two things on our list for adding later, if need be.
Well, I think it's a great problem tonight. Again, I'm just kind of determined to bring this thing to the next question. Again, what I hope that we did is from the beginning of October, we have funding to build $10 projects and continue to be funded. So what I'm wondering is if we could take the 25-year 0% loan, make that 30 years, and give it to that 1.5% interest. That means $1.5 million. At 1.5% for 30 years, along with the 1.536 grant, and that's the second of that motion. If I can just add, as was stated, these are mainly harnessed to the PIB in comparison to the past several years. And we have a lot of physical funding to be made. And I'm really supportive of these types of projects. I had two teenage boys, one play soccer, one play baseball. We don't know where they're going to play either, so I understand that frustration. I think it's very difficult for the board to grant a lot of money for a recreation project. This is a large grant. And so this is a statement, I think we need to be very careful about what we do with it, especially for recreation projects versus some of the other projects that have been done with the city of Houston. So, having said that, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for hearing our application. My name is Steve Frischneck. I am a county commissioner in Santee County and also the chairman of the Municipal Building Authority. On my left is our Fair Board Chairman, Mike Bennett. On my right, if you've already met, Mr. Wilden, and Matt Weber. On my far right is our vice chair. Okay. Thank you. just by way of a little background, Tempe County is the second poorest county in the state. Our revenue comes from property tax, and that's always a difficult thing for our citizens. We depend on those property taxes to fund our projects. By way of background, back in the early part of the century, the pioneers came to Santee County, I guess before this generation. But they had a difficult time. They came late in the season, no time to plant crops, no time to build homes. And so they, in an early snowstorm, they dug out on the side of the south side of the mountain to survive. Some families had 10 children in a 16 by 12 little dugout back into the hill. And come early spring, the rattlesnakes came out of hibernation. and the pioneers killed, hundreds and hundreds of rattlesnakes. The pioneers killed them, but the Indians came by and gathered them up and ate them. So there was no waste. The times haven't changed a whole lot in Sanpete County, except now, instead of rattlesnakes, we eat beef and lamb and turkey. So, probably the worst thing that I hate in my whole life is to beg people for money. It's a real challenge for me, but I think that this project is so important to Sanpete County that I'm willing to come and beg. This is the only event that brings the whole county together. And we want that cohesiveness for our citizens. We will be celebrating 101 years of the county fair this year. And I think that's quite a milestone. It really does help our youth. As they do the project with animals and other talents that they have, they come and they enjoy the fair and they leave having a great feeling of accomplishment. Now to our application. Our grandstand is over 90 years old, as you've seen on the application. It's made of wood, which is rotting. You know, the foundations, the pillars that hold the grandstand up are rotting away. We cross our fingers and we pray every time we have an event there that things not going to fall down and injure someone. Our biggest concern is safety. And so we want this project to go forward. I'd like to have our fair board chairman make a few comments and then the vice chair if they would like to.
A lot of the uses we do at the fairground don't just consist of the fairs throughout the year. We have the Cub Scout Day Camp, which brings in all the scouts throughout the county. They meet at the central location there in Manti, and they have their day camp. We also did this last year. We had the Boy Scout Expo. So it consists of more than just the actual fair that we hold in August. We want to make it a multi-use facility. We wanted to, you know, the last project that came up would be able to share our parking, and we do a motocross event in June, which brings people from all over the state. This last week we did the Mormon Miracle Pageant. We camped people out on the lawn, and we did a lot of parking for the actual pageant visitors. So we're trying to turn it into a multi-use facility to use more than just the month of August. So.
The last 8 years I've spent on the livestock board for the livestock show, and we really jumped on board for this project because all of our youth, there's about 75 of them that spend 6 months taking care of the animals to get them to the fair. And they get to the fair and they go wash their animals and get them all cleaned up, and then they go to change and they have to go in the back seat of the car or in the horse trailer to change their clothes before the show. And so we jumped on board with this, and so that we could get the changing room and the bathroom near the livestock barn. I'm also on the horse council, and we have several horse shows in the arena every year, and the concession stands there are just it's just, there's nothing in there. There's no, you know, no cooking, no seating. And it's everything's just outdated. And I think, like Brother Frickney said, we really need to step up and go forward and have something last us another 100 years. I hope our engineers are as good as the guys that engineered the last the wood structure.
Thank you. Are there any questions that we can answer?
Thank you. We're looking for questions. Commissioner Adams is like a pioneer of a lot of them, sir.
Yeah. I'll never forget the rattlesnake story, Toddy. I know you were coaching him on that. I appreciate the project, the presentation. Who is the Forest County in the state of Utah? You're number two.
It's probably yours.
I like the project because these folks are bringing cash and in the amount of what they're asking for in grant. I think that's appropriate when you have a project like this. And I certainly appreciate it. I know that their state magi is below their local magi is below the state magi. I love junior livestock, so I love hearing what you said about that. And I just have one recommendation to you. Always invite your state senator and your state representative to the sale. They got the big money. I like the project. I'd be willing to make a motion on the project whenever you're ready, Chairman.
With that explanation, I expected motion because I have a general offer to the bus stop, so that's a good combination. But just recommendation, I'm kind of thinking that while 9 years old Wilson was not working, we have one more than 150 years ago. We still function to be fine. Well, did you get the construction work here tonight?
They were pioneers, hurting to get a job done.
I second the motion that explanation. So we have a motion by Commissioner Adams and a second by Commissioner Donati. Any further discussion? Saying none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining?
Aye.
Commissioner Jarrett, I'm standing on the opinion. Motion carries.
Don't discuss that. Okay. So you're going to gain personally financially from this moment. If we declare that if we make a declaration that we're on the board or whatever, but we're not getting financial gain from the project.
Something that means we're allowed to do it. That's the main other thing.
I just think that, you know, it's not against the law. I'm not to be able to do that. As I know that in our meeting last month, several of us today might have gone here simply because of the county that you're representing as the highest bidder in the county. So, I'm wondering, Tom, if we can take a fresh look at that and just.
Obviously, we can take a fresh look to discuss the ethics and the ethics act of our, you know, the personal matters, but you know, the board probably wants to develop something with regard to the county the protocol. As I was indicating, the county ethics act provisions are a lot less borderless, they're a lot less detailed than they are for the state. The state ethics act prohibits people from using their position to for advantage for themselves or others. Also indicates that you should not take action where you have a conflict of interest. I would suggest that if Miller County were an applicant and you voted, you made a motion to fund you from the county for the project you voted on. She might end up on both sides of that transaction. You would have a duty to report the contract and issue a committee as a board member. And that could easily be seen to be a direct conflict of interest in your form of violation of the ethics act. Those concerns come up. The use your position to have advantage for yourself or another. There's a rule of reason with regard to that, because you know, otherwise, county commissioners should never produce taxes in the county for what they expect. But again, where you are, you'll be voting to directly attend an entity that you are an officer of, you have a controlling position in. I think a lot of people will say that's not reasonable. That's going to mean to you your position because you are advantaged in something that you control and you operate.
So with that, a little later in our discussion, Ron and Jim and Bruce and Claudia and myself and Jay, the majority of the board are all directors on the board. I'm not sure as far as the DOC. And I think a lot of it is an interpretation of the video, but I really like this. You know, to take a fresh look at that, because I do know even on the state board, it's not always viewed the exact same way. But I'm just going to take a fresh look at that.
If one like it, do I can just sort of
on that, come up with something to look for further guidance. And I think on the AOG, if you can be declaring at the time that it's brought forward and provoked it, I'm not sure of the conflict of
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
AOG Director Damian here. In your packet, we're on page 11-1-5. Ron Jones, the Executive Director of the Red River Association of Parks, representing the 7 Association Government. So please introduce yourself and
thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board and everybody else that's here. We're glad to be here for a few brief minutes today, and we'll try to keep it brief. I've asked these other folks, the other directors, to sit up here, but we'll ask that they don't say anything other than introduce themselves, because they can be a little long-winded. So let's go ahead and start on my left. Just introduce yourself, please.
I'm Russ Kelly, Fitz County Association of Governments, Juab Miller, Paiute Sound Beach of Aaron Wayne.
Andrew Jackson, Mountain Land Association of Governments, Utah, Wasatch and Santa Clarita.
Andrew Gruber from the Wasatch Fund Regional Council, Sullivan, Davis, Weaver, Morgan, and two Illinois.
Brian Durant with the Pike County Association of Governments, Washington, Iron Beaver, Garfield, and King.
Clyde Bumman, and the State Association of Governments, David, you show me my
Debbie Matchock, Eugene Hill Association of Governments, Carvin, and Ray Gwen, and Sam Montgomery.
Thank you all. I prepared just a brief or a short packet of information there. And then I'd like to go through the little handout, if that's okay, very quickly with you. Nice colorful map on the front page shows the state of Utah and these regional boundaries that have been in place since the late 1960s, been around a long time. It shows that the regional associations of the government that serve those areas. The second page of that little handout shows the many responsibilities these regional organizations have been given over the decades. We've been around some 44 or 45 years. Six of the associations are Area Agencies on Aging, a federal designation, and do a lot with senior centers and helping the older adults in the state remain active and in their homes as long as possible. Seven of the associations are community involved in community development planning, and that's what we're talking about today. And I might mention that five of us are very, very grateful for the rural planning program and the assistance you've provided there for a number of years. That has certainly done a lot of good, we believe, for especially the rural parts of the state. Seven associations are involved in economic development, job creation. And all seven of us are involved in, to one extent or another, in housing issues, affordable housing. One of us, our region, is actually a regional housing authority, which is a very efficient way to operate, we found. Five of the associations of government are involved in human services and specifically designated as community action agencies dating back to the war on poverty in the mid-1960s. Trying to help low-income individuals and families better themselves. You turn over the page, and three of the AOGs are designated metropolitan planning organizations involved a lot in transportation planning, and of course, particularly in the heavily populated urban areas, Wasatch Regional Council with this Andrew and Mount Land Association with this Andrew over here. So. I think you probably know the history of the Association of Government, the bottom two-thirds of that third page. We date back to the late 1960s, early 1970s, kind of a national trend, and at that time then Governor Rampton kind of embraced that concept. And we still have very strong regional organizations in Utah. I've been to a few national conferences, and I think we do more in this state regionally, more services at that level than most other states in the country. And then the fourth page of that little staple packet shows who we are by number of employees, and this is as of the fiscal year that just ended yesterday. We took this snapshot last October showing the total number of full-time equivalent employees, the total employees including part-time, and $44 million in funds flows through these organizations last fiscal year, ended yesterday. About $32.5 million of that of those funds were federal dollars. So we like to think we do a lot of things. A lot of that money gets passed through to other entities, senior centers, home health agencies, landlords, a variety of other things. So enough on that. The little blue page that's in the packet is just something that we developed. Actually, Brian Carver, our regional planning person in Bear River, developed it, showing the 27 components that we're concerned about completing plans for. So we know it's a big job, and you are very well aware of that. And the next page, well, the last page shows the seven regional directors that you see here before you, and then there's a little outline that I'll just go through. So each of the seven regional planning organizations are willing and able to take on this important county resource management planning project while ensuring numbers 1 through 7. Number 1, maximum desired county direction and involvement without risking reductions in TILT funding. We understand we need to be very careful with that. Number 2, we will ensure close collaboration with the Housing and Community Development Division's Rural Planning Group. That will be of great help and assist a lot and be involved a lot in this process. We're confident. Number 3, we will work closely with the State Public Lands Office and utilize the information already available around the state that they've been collecting. We have those representatives here with Rich and Carmen today. And number 4, effective communication among AOG planning staff is very important because we want to share information, joint contract with consultants as appropriate, avoid duplication wherever we can, and maximize the impact of these important dollars that we're talking about today. No CIB funds will be used for administration. We understand that's your direction. Number 6, regular progress and cost reports will be made to the Rural Planning Group and to this board, to the Impact Board. And we might add that we would hope the door would be open a little bit in case some counties need additional help and funding. We won't know that for some months down the road. Number 7, there's been talk of 12-month completion with these projects. We think that's very unrealistic. We would hope for 24 months, recognizing that it takes 3 to 6 months for counties to adopt this plan component to go through the process. And lastly, we put on there the comment that we believe that all AOGs should receive funding to complete this project, recognizing the state impact of mineral lease extraction and production, and that includes the two more rural more urban regions of the state that definitely have impacts related to what we're talking about. So that's all I have to say, Mr. Chairman, to open it up for any questions you might have for any of us.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. We appreciate that. We did have quite a lengthy discussion last month at our policy retreat. We appreciate the energy directors and ones that took forward and covered this month and a half. So we'll turn to the board and see if there are any questions or discussion at the time. Commissioner Peter?
I just have one comment on it. And he stated that just the importance of being careful when they need to help. And I think the counties and the AOG is all we need to recognize that this money is the AOG project. It's not just a direct task force to the county. It needs to be done in such a way that as we talk about air quality and water and all of this, it's kind of a regional plan we're putting together that's not
I guess this is a question for Candace or Gail. As things come in, like these, they do invoicing, is it pretty clear on what things fall by?
I think everybody is seeing it.
to reiterate what we did at the policy meeting, what we informed you. I mean, this is an anomaly, but with a planning grant, because we require 50% cash grant on any planning funding, we reimburse the 50% of the invoice. So you have to have 50%. So this money is placed in escrow. Probably they were placed in escrow, and how it gets reimbursed is that you will just submit a copy of your check, a copy of the invoice, and copy of the reimbursement form from CIB, and then we get reimbursed at 50%. Now, it really is up to the board to decide how this funding will go forward. It is, as has been stated over and over again, an anomaly for CIB being in this position. But that's how historically it has been reimbursed. So we'll try and maintain the rules and regulations of CID funding as best we can, not get in any trouble.
Chairman, sure. And if the specter or the potential or the possibility of state funding becomes available, it wouldn't be at the time of interest. We're going to have some cash flow issues, I think, that need to be figured out there and just forward. Kind of determine the size and magnitude. Now, one size isn't going to fit all. We're going to have some idea of how to put the structure together, if this is a function, and the OOT is going to end up having to subsidize the process. And I don't think anybody can send that to these outcomes. So, I realize they have rules, conscious margins, so I have to say this stuff. But I think I've put special circumstances together here, so the guideline believes for this is insane.
The board can authorize it as a project. If they authorize it as a project, then it's still reimbursed from the invoice, but it will be reimbursed for 100% for the invoice.
We're trying to be careful with the offset. The way that the AOG is getting up in the gym is coming. And the difference to me is about even their own protocol, where we could authorize this money to the AOG. And still require the, all the invoices and any invoices that you can get. AOG would be responsible for it. I think if Bragg County and his facilities fund, they don't have some meaning for the statement. And I think some of our AOG is going to be responsible for some of these contracts. I would like to see a special fund to the AOG without having to be in the statement.
Further discussion? Questions? Mr. Gennady? I just want to compliment on the preparation of the AOG 101. Thank you. This is being a compliment to all of us to have information. Thank you, Mark, Nadine, Brian, Andrew, and Ruben Ross, and so on for Joe. I attend some of your meetings, and I just want to say thank you for all you do. Appreciate all the effort in your local organization, AOG. You were the really the famous for the whole state.
Thank you very much.
Your patience went on for the rest of the state, waiting for the money to come in to enter the stations and run your programs. You know, a lot of patience. And that's why we want to thank you for being patient with that. Thank you. Mr. Roberts, do you have anything to say for the special meeting?
Captain Fox, each one of the applications appears to be a little bit different, and from my reading of them, I'm not exactly sure what the AOG project is that they're going to be doing. The department mentioned just the pass-through funds, which would definitely impact part of the chances to confirm on the application, state grant, $50,000 for counties. But in technically, the CID grant is in the amount. Ordinarily, what CID does in those circumstances is that they say, okay, give us the money, the legislature, we'll combine that with the CID money, it goes into the escrow account, and then it comes out of the debt money, which is counted. But sure, counties, and the DOT doesn't match that as being appropriated. My understanding is that money is in PUCO. And PUCO is not going to write to you, it's not going to write Clyde County to check for $250,000 and say, here. So that state money doesn't go into the pool to combine with the impact for money to then do the project, and that project is in the fund. So I think that's kind of confusing in terms of the way that it's structured. A lot of the concern is being driven by the impact on the bill. Because the impact works for the grant revenues and counties is one. But counties again suffer from having a reduction in their bill payment. And so some of this is an issue about how we can avoid that happening. The idea behind the bill money reduction is being from a for payments received by the local unit of government. And they said, in interpreting that, they said those are funds actually received and available to the counties for obligation of expenditures to carry out the county's own responsibilities. And so they also dealt with the issue of AOGs with regard to counties. In the opinion talks about just standard numbers, generally trying to get AOG. However, that can have impact. And if they said, AOG expenditure and mineral waste money generally will provide services for which the county otherwise would be financially responsible. And therefore, would be required to be deducted from the county's co-payments on a program basis. So if AOG is doing county functions, which the county would otherwise be doing, and having mineral waste money to do that, there's a good chance there would be a co-reduction.
Well, I guess the question there, if I may, is that something the counties would be doing? And apparently very few have and haven't had the resources or the determination to do it in the past. So I guess that's the question there.
The county's got the obligation to prepare the resource management plan. So if you give them money to perform that function, and that is mineral waste money, that obviously money will be given to the county to fulfill their obligation to expenditure for their own responsibilities. In talking with Commissioner McKee with regard to the AOG, the AOG could be doing separate things, not county plans. The AOG could be doing regional issues, so it's not just individual counties, not performing functions for the county. It would be doing projects and things which the county might be able to use later. So it would be writing a plan, it would not be giving them money, it would not be hiring their contractors to do the county plan. So to the extent that this money is going to the AOG to put it up, regional planning, combining information as part of the AOG, not just merely we're helping the county do what it needs to do. And that's probably not going to result in a reduction in full pay. But specificity with regards to what the AOG is going to be doing, what the money is for, how this interacts with PP 323. That would fix the problem that they're going to see between gray areas. In concern, they're trying to deal with and address the bill issue. If this money is going to be used in an energy project, not for them to do the damage work, not for them, not for the AOG to fulfill the obligation for the damage.
not just merely an asteroid. It's talking about not changing your mind. It's supposed to be second.
Not all back into the space issue in the Innovation Association of Government here, but we did have our public hearing up in the middle, and as we discussed, if this was the very thing that we discussed at our AOG meeting, we talked about this being a regional approach. That is our intent, is the way that we can build programs to the Innovation Association of Government. Because we do not want to have the two, and we believe that regional work would be done. And that would be valuable information to all of us that we have. It becomes part of the state plan. And that's what this is. So this item is discussed at the Manila Conference to have discussed. At least for the Innovation Association of Governments, I believe that we could get into that as possible.
Yes.
Mr.
Chairman, Tom's concern probably centers around more than individual counties. If you look at item number 4 that's on that division 7, and we're looking at efficiency or at least bringing together for, let's say, a national forest or for the geological district, the information that's true name in the area will probably settle counties. And I think that's what Mr. McKee is getting at right there. If you're looking for the expertise and the science and the help to be able to pull that in such a fashion, then the counties can extract those portions that would end up going into their plans. And then it becomes a matter of art that we've got to ask Mr. Robbins to help make sure that we don't mess ourselves up on. So it's going to be rapid after the collection takes place.
Well, I mean, it's not all merely form. It's not all merely form. You know, you're giving money to the AFG, not the county. You know, the question is, I think, it's a more critical way to frame that question, is making sure the AFG is doing the AFG project on its own. And not trying to do the county's work or take the county's obligation to do and pay for what the county's obligation to do.
There's always this thing when they come online, so it's not true, right? There's always this thing to use on it. But when they come online, they don't fill the gaps.
The way I read the statute, FIPCO's almost supposed to do the plan. They're supposed to definitely assist the county doing the plan, and the county places on the process with FIPCO half the amount of the proposed cost of the plan. And subject to funding, FIPCO will reimburse it to the plan after FIPCO's
yeah, it's turned into consideration.
Mr. Chairman. My mic on?
Yeah.
It is. Mr. Chairman, I have a question. If I might, this is a clarifying question. Mr. Roberts, you raised the point that if the AOG fulfill a responsibility that is, as you said, reading from the opinion, an obligation of the counties, it might trigger the FILT question. In this case, is the preparation of county resource management plans, does it rise to the level of a county obligation? As has been previously stated, the counties, many of the counties, have not prepared these plans in the past. And I wonder if it's possible that we can look at the preparation of these plans as something that is being done at the discretion of the AOGs. It has benefit to the counties, but technically it's not an obligation. I don't know if that's a distinction that's meaningful with regard to the FILT issue, but it's just something that occurred to me as you're addressing the requirements from the opinion.
How can the idea of county standards that need to plan that becomes county obligation? My recollection that the statute says the county shall do the plan, which makes it an obligation to county to perform the plan, even though it's mandated by the state. That's county obligation that it has to go.
Mr. McKee, I'm going to put it in front. If I can, just for a moment,
Kings County, for example, Jim Massengill, speaks this very well, but they put together a fairly comprehensive challenge plan. I wrote the document because the therapy is around $400,000. And then they put together the plan under the Federal Land Management Policy Act. It states that the federal government must be consistent with state and local plans. I
actually the AOG is part of the local plan. You can have a county's executive local plan. Instead, at the end of the day, each one of these local plans becomes the state plan that the legislature has envisioned. But I think at least from our position, the way that we can give this to the innovation association government, again, on a regional basis, air quality is an important issue. That's one of the things also the state legislature is wanting information on, is the air quality, the water quality. All these different aspects are very similar to BLM planning. So I believe as a region, and each region is a little bit different. I believe that is very consistent, as Tom mentioned. So I think the thing that's important is that we just don't feel like we're going to run the AOG and say, okay, no, we want $50,000 a year. That's matching the $50,000 from the state. That would completely be an offset itself. And if we can utilize the work that they do for some of the regional things that we can build into that, we can value our region and the state life. What do you think would be a really good shape?
I just want to mention that I was quite involved with this legislation and have been for many, many years, worked with King County on their regionalization of their planning, and it's been great. I'm also very involved with NUCA. I've testified in federal court many times as an expert witness. This is very critical, the way they're doing this process. We've actually incorporated things into state plan through legislation I've done in terms of grazing zones, mineral zones, recreation zones, all these things that we want the federal government, both in NEPA, the Federal Land Policy Management Act, and the Forest Service Organic Act, to look at. So if these counties plan on a lower basis within their areas and on a regional basis, there's interlap between those. As Commissioner McKee said, there's air quality issues, there's even visual resource issues. So it's very important that we get these plans from the ground up. We start, we look at those from the ground up, we look at the state of the counties as subdivisions of the state. We want to make sure we work with your plans, that we have those things together. And then as we go forward with the Bureau of Land Management on RMPs, which then become EISs, Environmental Impact Statements, that they do consider under social economic impacts, under everything that we do out there on the ground. And so they need the support. That's why we passed this law, House Bill 323. I hope you support this too here, and I think it's the direction you're going is correct, and I think it bodes well with what the state has said you want to do. Those resources in those counties, those mineral resources, remember, half of those come to the state. We use those monies. A lot of them go to school trust lands. So all those school trust lands they do some of their planning, but they count on the counties to work together for their transportation, their other issues, for employment issues. So working together in this mode is what we want to do as a state. We want to look at ourselves as a sovereign entity, looking out for our people, and when the federal government comes in with their over-regulation, that we can say, wait a minute, you have to defer to us on these things. That's what NEPA says. That's what your own planning document says. So I'm with you on this.
Thank you, Representative. I think I speak for the CLE board because we are unanimously behind the concept and the challenge by how to make it work given the strength we have in language. Tom, you identified some issues and we very much appreciate that. Can you help us identify some solutions as far as the language that might go into a motion that would allow the board to fund this activity without causing us too much trouble with the bill? Minimize that.
What you can't do is basically give money to the AOC so the AOC will perform county obligations, pay for county obligations. And this obligation we're talking about here are resource management. Commissioner McKee has indicated and talked about, if the AOGs, I have to remind you, so the AOGs can do an AOC project. Where the AOG this board wants to compile this regional information, he wants to provide regional planning, regional concerns, but for the AOG too. And not that it's just merely a sham that we're doing county resource plan, we're doing parts of the county resource plan. So once the AOG finishes this project and let it out, the county will be able to maybe use that connection to funding. The state might be able to make use of it from their funding network, but it's still the AOG, not, you know, just $50,000 per county so that we can do the county resource management. And so, you know, the motion is that the correct is policy review. I was concerned about, you know, we're going to talk about doing this, but I don't know what this is. You know, specificity with regards to what they're doing. The board can say, we will authorize the AOG to the extent that it is, and then request the AOG to detail that back so that we have projects and customers in writing in the mobile.
Yeah, you know, this is the AOG project, not that, you know, and
Association for Regional Planning to gather information and put it in form in the unit by the state, by the other AOGs, by the county. So, you know, a lot of that is fine with the project. You just don't want it to be, we're doing what we can, obligating our funding.
But and then each AOG is made up of counties in respect to those county boundaries as well. So there has to be something that could be just aggregated back to a county level, because that's, we all have our boundaries as county boundaries.
And the AOG and the area,
ask one more clarification point, and maybe I don't know if it needs to be in the motion or not. We started this thing, we had one element we were working on, that's where the $50,000 came from. I am not sure that any of us are ever going to be able to hit 27 elements for the $100,000. So I would really like to make sure that if we get into this and find out, I've heard figures of $10,000 per element, that's $270,000. We may have to come back. So I would really, I don't know if you make that in your form of a motion that you approve the $1.6 million with the option of us coming back when we find out what this is really going to cost us to do it. So we're not bound by this amount.
This is what we're going to do. That's the AOG. So when we come back, I'm not sure who you're talking about, because AOG is going to be doing, I'm not sure it's going to change. County, when they do their funding, they're going to have to come up with their own money and their own funding source. And like Eric and Lily know right now, that's been so about the
okay, so I guess to clarify that, from what you're saying, if we're responsible to go and do this on a regional basis, we have 27 elements that we have to identify and we have to find the data for and process.
That's right. AOG does not have the opportunity to prepare a regional management plan containing 27 elements.
But if that's what we decide we want to do, so I don't know. I guess what I'm just trying to say is that. Quit that? Okay. I'll quit. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the most concern?
First one was it doesn't affect the counties, the state bills, that it's all worked out.
It's a good
Then the next question is that as I was reading through that patient, height and skin difference is what warranted you, Newark County, getting $300,000 close to $150,000.
Well, it's not just Newark County, but I do want to address my concern in the county. I think sometimes we have to be able to go to the when you think that 80% of oil comes from the state comes out of the Grand Basin, and only 68% of natural gas comes out of the Orange County. The air quality issues alone that we're dealing with, and you put all of these different elements that we're having to deal with, I think we want to ensure that we are protecting these resources. Because again, through the Federal Land Management Policy Act, states that federal government must be consistent with state local plans. That's why Kane County sent $400,000 in doing what they've done. I think as a region, this is very important. We're probably the number one we had at the South Carolina team. Really effective. So I don't want to be sure if it works there. But there's some active South Carolina team, air quality issues. We need to make sure that we address these quality issues, and we're doing it in such a way so that we're improving the area. We're developing a strong, comprehensive plan. And I just think, how bad do we want to continue to feed what we're doing here?
I think through the observation that I think a lot of you made about taking a look at the task and how far along we are, we may be back for supplemental subsidies to make sure that we're filling the gaps. But I should give my county credit for thinking a little further ahead on us to see what we need to have for future jobs. I'd try to ask you that.
Mr. Wilson, do you understand that we're even caused by your wife? Is there further discussion? Council, is there any need to disclose the AOG affiliations that the majority of the board members have?
I'd like to make two points. I think we're big on a bigger goal. The first point I want to make is that the motion for approval of funds is significantly different than the application from the application. And so I think that you probably ought to require prior to any funding, AOG to get back to you with regards to demonstration of their application is in accordance with the scope of work is in accordance with what was approved. I hate to have that paperwork be contrary to the fact later on. With regard to potential conflicts of interest, with regard to board members who are also on AOG, I would recommend that the board get each one of the AOG separately and vote on it, and that each person who is an officer of the AOG not vote the number of the board members who have conflicts of interest where you're voting to give your position.
Do you want to vote on each one of your individual?
I would recommend that the easiest way to get back to the actual conflict of interest.
So, suspend the funding so that we can immediately begin to get stuff working on the contract.
opposed to that. The only concern is that these applications did need significant refining for council's advice. We could put it on the priority list and we have time to do that. The other option would be have them come back again next month.
You could also require me to report in front of the distributed that they either amend their application or show a scope of work that is commensurate with and follows
$150,000. Any motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Process for regional council? Process for regional council, $250,000. Body of merit? Non-discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any discussion? Any opposed? I think we took care of that, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We appreciate seeing the Maryville being patient with us and only waiting for about an hour. And I know the conference is not getting any cooler, so if you'd like to come forward this time.
Good morning. Ryan Savage with Savage Survey.
I'm Wade Mountain, Mayor of Maryville.
This project is come about because of the lack of funds to maintain the roads. I mean, we've been putting band-aids on the roads for Marysville, but on the east side of Marysville, we have a drainage problem, narrow roads, and the water runs down the roads, and now the roads are alligators that chip seal just been all together. And then also along with this project, we've got a road that has become a major thoroughfare for four-wheelers to get in and out of Marysville, accessing Mineral Mountain, and it has a major drop-off on the one shoulder, and as you can imagine, four-wheelers are going a lot faster than most cars, and there's an old guardrail there, if you can call it that, but it is deteriorated where it wouldn't hold anything up if something did hit it. So we're going to lay that slope back and widen that road out and put some jersey barrier up there to keep the four-wheelers and the cars on the road.
Board, any questions or comments?
That will be the back of the state. And
to show up with a $5 million tag and repair an oil and coal hauler in the state of Utah. So I understand that very, very much. We have probably three hundred semis a day.
We did an inventory on the roads, and we have it. If you have that paper, it shows there's three phases on this. This is by far the worst part of town. It's been impacted more by the water and the issues that I explained earlier. And so if we put equipment on those roads and try and just do the drainage right now, we're going to lose what hard surface we do have right now. So that side of the road is, the town is just going to have to be rebuilt now, because if we put a backhoe out there on that road, it's gone. Most of the roads, even though I say hard surface, are just chip seal on top, chip seal on top, chip seal, because that's all they've had money to do.
What are your best concerns right now?
There are 381 people.
I don't have numbers on that. I would suspect it's actually gone down a little bit, but we're kind of more of a seasonal. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, we really bloom, and in the wintertime, we're pretty dead. I could probably count them. I know them all, but it'd take a little bit.
I agree with Jay. I have no problem with Mary's Dale or Central Valley or any of these little communities, but we're sending a message to everybody that has those little problems in the state of Utah. Come to the CRD and you can get a grant to fix your roads. We gave Mary's Dale $15,000 per resident. I mean, Central Valley, $15,000 per resident in grant. I think our funds are limited. We can't be the answer to every road problem in the state of Utah. There was a time when in any road project that came to the CIB was funded 50% loan and 50% grant. Are we going to change that and say,
Real quick,
planning commission, and we'll see you know, kind of living with, you know, trying to send a message. I'll make a motion that a $500,000 grant at 20 years at zero expense, and that remainder, which is $685,000. $500,000 in a loan and $685,000 in a grant. Part of my reasoning for that is that they have some loans that are around $20,000 that are coming, that are going to be fulfilled in 2 years. So, and I think if we do have to send a message that we're not going to honor the game today.
We have a motion from Mr. Galecki. Is there a second to that motion? Sure. It's $500,000, 20-year loan at 0%. It's a $685,000 grant. Is that correct?
20-year
turnout, correct? 20-year. Does everyone understand that? So that was the right obligation. It's not a 20-year term. It has to be a 10-year term.
I just make a point. I just figured that out, and that's if it would be the 10 years that is allowed on the Class B and C roads, that's $50,000 a year, which is more than they get from Class B and C roads right now. And if we do start, I understand where you guys are trying to save money, and I get what you're trying to do, but If you make these guys pay everything they get in Class B and C roads to make the payments, in 10 years they're going to be back in here because they haven't had any money to maintain what you already put money into. So if you're putting money on the ground, don't handicap them. At least let them maintain what they put down.
Great.
You
continue
your
business. You know, if you look at Mary's building, your average income is $29,000. Yet, I very much share what Bruce and Jay are talking about. And I think this is a really good policy because we not really all have a hard point out there. And yet, I don't know that they have a whole lot of room to do a lot. So I think I'm working on that maybe.
So that would be a grant of.
I think that would get them started in the area of the most critical. I think we're getting a chance to try and save some money to try and work on the project as we move forward. And Jay and Bruce are right. I don't think we should fund every transportation project coming in. There just isn't enough money to do that. And I would encourage the leadership, right, that they pay off money, they try to do the very best they can help themselves in building some funds. So there's a motion for me to turn to the second motion. A motion of a $570,000 grant. Second question, school rounding. So, if there's an audit session in that motion, any further discussion?
Yeah.
Hold on a second, please. Just remember, just wait on your going up all the time, let's keep this one for you.
This is phase one. You're going to be about phase one and a half.
Doesn't mean that any applicant has an opportunity to come back.
Okay. I don't think we'll have a problem getting applicants to come back. I don't think we'll have a problem getting anybody in the city. I don't see how we can work money now.
Okay.
Further discussion?
What does the kind of fee go as far as how about getting the pass?
Could you explain to me exactly what the motion was and what we ended up with?
You ended up with $300,000 total, $300,000 in grant, and $300,000 at 0% for 10 years.
Okay. Thank you.
I am put on the prioritization list for the funding consideration in our folks.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day.
I'm worried there isn't anybody left. Mike Noel, General Manager, Kane County Water Conservancy District.
Dirk Bison, Kane County Water Conservancy District Board Member and Kane County Commissioner.
Alan Roberts, Architect with CRSA.
Our project, as you've seen on the request, is for a new office building, or an office building, for the Water Conservancy District. The district was established in 1992. We've always operated either out of someone's home, or as of about the last 15 years, we've had a one-room office above the bank on the upper floors of the was the Heritage Bank, Heritage Savings Bank, and now it's the Mountain America Credit Union. We've kind of grown out of that. We've gone from zero customers and basically hardly any infrastructure. And when I took over almost 20 years ago, and we have up over 3,000 service connections. We have over 150 miles of pipeline, 5 million gallons of storage, reservoir, Keith, you help me with this one, a generation station. Anyway, it's grown rapidly. Approximately 3 million tourists come through King County every year. It's one of the highest visited counties in the state as far as tourism goes for population, so there's a lot of services that are asked for there. The tax base for the county is about 11% private. We don't receive any money from the fill payments, anything from the federal government that goes to the county. There's no money that comes in, so basically our funds come pretty much from taxing property taxes, which we tax, and also from revenue. And we've actually switched that formula so that over the last 20 years we've been able to change that, so we receive more money in revenue from our water sales and income than we do for property taxes. We are also a county that's tried very, very hard to get into the mineral lease funds. As you know, we've been in lawsuit after lawsuit, been sued, just got the draft EIS out on the Alma coal field. We've got some of the largest coal reserves in the United States. Comparables plateau, so low sulfur, high BTU coal has 300 years worth of coal from the state of Utah. Even if the EPA, which recently ruled that some of the regulations are unconstitutional, so that the only, that was the day when the stock market dropped 350 points, but coal stock went up. So there's a market for coal, not only in power generation here, we might not get as much here, but there is worldwide. There's a big market for that, and it's really our base supply. We gasify and energy and also fertilizer for farmers. But we had an accident here a while back where someone came to try to get up to our office. We actually have a place for buildings and things downstairs, but we have to go upstairs. There's no elevator in there, so we don't have ADA access in that building, and we're afraid we're going to get sued on it. We built a reservoir in King County several years ago, and this is the plot of property that we're talking about putting it on. And that's where the location actually goes to, the new county jail facility out there and the rodeo ground. So it's in an area that's really a nice area. We just see us continuing to grow the district, grow. We serve the entire county, all of Kane County. Our latest asset sheets, that this would be just the value of water rights and things is quite a bit higher than that and what we've had. But we do have a cash flow situation. So we're asking for a grant and a loan. Someone mentioned to me before the meeting that we didn't have the $7 million loan to CIB on there, but it is on there. It's on the back of page, it's on page six. It's on the back of one of those, and it's a $241,000. We've never defaulted on anything. We always paid our bills, so I don't know if Commissioner Clayson wants to say anything about that. You want to speak?
This office building will be a great asset for the community as well. It has a few benefits for having some additional places to meet out in that area. And it will, I think, offer us a good platform to move forward with some strength in the water district. Application's been submitted with the new funds needed being 60-40 loan grant, but the land being used for it has a value of over $200,000, and additional cash from the district will also be put into it. So we appreciate all that the CIB has done to help the Water District and King County over the years, and would welcome any questions that you would have.
Thank you, John. Questions from the board, Mr. Keith? I do have one question about the terms, but before I do that, it looks like we're putting in $75 million in cash, $228,000 in time, and it looks like we're trying to look at the cash. It looks like we're So the question I have is really on the 1%. The question I have is that if we go 1%, is that come out of our it can't come out of the moment? Because I thought we had to be able to state that just want to make sure that we call that and we're going to ask you to make sure that you have.
Actually, Mike, it's a $350,000 loan, and what they're putting in, their total putting in is $565,500. And so they're more than what we're asking for the grant, so I'm supposed to have to approve it.
Bruce Adams made a motion to approve the gentleman, Mr. County Attorney, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And before I get your meeting, to construct on that, it's nice to see that, you know, the cost of it is around $100 per square foot. It seems reasonable to me. I mean, our car actually is doing that, so I did a good job on that.
The board will accept the motion on the King County Regulator for Transportation and Special Service District for $100,000 grant, $131,000 grant. Are there any moves? Is there a second? That is. Now you can have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The motion passes. Thank you very much.
We'll keep it brief. I'm Jerry Nelson. I'm treasurer and a board member of Pinyon Forest Special Service District. This is Jason Broom with Forest Rim Engineering. He's our principal engineer on the project. Linda just had to step out. She ran out of oxygen. So she's our board chairperson. Our original plan on this water dispenser project was to lease water rights to help reduce our CapEx costs. We later found that we'd be required to own water shares to start the project. We'd spoken initially with a number of municipalities who had offered to potentially lease water rights to us. Some of those are a little less enthusiastic at the present time. Water's getting really, really tight. So we've looked at a number of water rights. Some have been pulled off the market. Some of them are not acceptable for this type of a project for one reason or another. There aren't a lot of them available at the moment. The water we've negotiated for are water rights dating from 1911, so they're very high priority, very valuable water rights. They come from the Current Creek, Deep Creek Springs drainage area. It's been determined that they would be acceptable and usable on this project. In addition, we're continuing to look for other water rights that can be leased for additional needs. We've identified some that may be available next year, but again, those are leased water rights rather than purchased water rights. We've contacted a number of agencies regarding funding for the water rights. All of them have informed us that they can't just fund the water rights portion, they would have to fund the whole thing. We recently met with the Uinta Basin Association of Governments to update them on our efforts and got a vote of confidence from them. We live in a district that's growing very fast, especially with full-time residents moving in the area. We currently have over 3,200 unique full-time property owners in our district, and that number is growing each year. So what we're looking for is some funding so we can purchase these water rights.
Mm-hmm. So you said that you have approached other people, they say they will not do the partial funding, all of them, so what's wrong with that? Indications of that?
The terms are not as good as we could get through CIB. So the costs would be substantially higher.
How much would that turn? What are they offering?
I think the primary issue is there would be no grant component and loan rates would be higher. And as we said here, we've got about 50% grant on this project, so that's definitely advantageous to the district.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? There would be a supplemental for an additional $100,000 loan, 20 years, 1.5% per the original bond with the 1-1 bond program, and then an additional $100,000 grant. So the total request is $200,000. Is there a motion? I make a motion, Mr. Chairman, tax rate cut 7. Okay, a motion by Mr. Benani. Is there a second to the motion?
Yeah.
Mr. Farrell. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, yeah. That was a question. Is that a spending sum? Mr. Benani?
Yes.
That is a spending sum. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Quick board member issues. Opposite the drive in the middle of the rural summit in 2003. I know some of you tried to make an appearance there. I don't know if that's a major concern or not. If it is, this is your opportunity to speak up and we'll start training the meeting today. If not, we'll leave it as is. So we're leaving it as is. One final item. Jeff Holt has arranged a tour in Fulton on July 23rd. So anyone that is interested, that will be happening. Yeah. If you have any questions, you can let me know and I'd be happy to tell you what we're learning about. So that's July 23rd. Any other board member issues?
I have no issues, but
I just want to personally thank the board today for the generosity of the students to my Johnson. Let me just share that I'm doing a little research, and this is going along with what Commissioner Adams always brings up here. I actually am not. I'm talking about the family of the state of Utah and Lake Deseret. Do you know that Trans Utah County Incorporated was part of Utah County, part of Pleasant, part of Henry, part of Sevier County? These are huge. And we all got shrunk down because of all your languages and your areas to what we are now. We ended up with no resources. We all got them off. So I'm just saying, originally, Trans Utah had all of your resources. So just
it's okay that you got all the money today. I just need to remind the board of one thing out of the information. According to the Jesuit when the Green Room was colonizing the West, the state of the area, they sent out a group of people to the innovation. And then called them back. And the report did not come back well. And so anyway, he said, the only thing you want to make him sick for is to hold the world together. So if we're talking about four and all that kind of thing, if that gets us more money, you can remember that statement. Over the last four installments, I think very much. Is that a real plan? That's half the federal song.
Look at me back.
Oh, yeah.